Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every day of the week in grateful appreciation. The men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, the doctors and nurses and first responders to COVID, and also the wonderful people to fill the market shelves during the pandemic. Tonight, we have a dedication, and I'm glad to say for finally, it's not just for a fallen brother, a firefighter, or police officer. But this is tonight's dedication is to the mother of Sergeant Dan Levante of the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. Sherry was a very, very nice lady that everybody should meet. Many years ago, in that big book that's supposed to be the oldest book that's ever written, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "He who finds a friend finds a treasure. A treasure cannot be bought or sold. A friend is worth her weight in gold." I don't know if they ever met anywhere. I'm sure they'll meet now because he was talking about Mrs. Levante. During her, feel, while her children were growing up through the sports programs, the Kelsey program, there was Sherry with working tirelessly, volunteering, washing dishes if she had to, taking tickets if she had to, sewing uniforms if she had to, and all the time quietly sitting there with a smile. To Ken, Sarah, Danny, and everybody in the family, we from this program send you our deepest sympathies. And if there's anything we can do, please don't hesitate to call.
Okay. All right. Well, Tony, you're our board tonight. It's going to be Tony, Zito.
Bob is vacationing. His wife just got back from 7 months sea duty, so they're vacationing in Hawaii. And Caden is at his hobby tonight. So his hobby is making money, and he's working. But he will be calling in on his break. So let's start with tonight's fight. Tony, I know you're anxious to get to it.
Yeah, I got to stay awake first, but providing I can. It's Devin Haney's night with Progress, Reggie Progress. And I've got my thoughts on how this one's going to go. I'm going to just make it quick. But if there's going to be any knockout, it won't be Haney knocking out Progress. It'll be Progress knocking Haney out. That's my first prediction. Second, if it goes all the way, there's no way Haney's going to lose points-wise, because even if he lost it, Vegas would flip it because that's their golden boy. I don't think Progress would win it under any circumstances if that happens. Other than that, you won't see a knockout on Haney's behalf. So I've predicted, even though I don't want it to be this way, that Haney probably will win. But I'm going for Progress and hoping he wins. And I'm really hoping he cleans Haney's clock tonight, and I got $50 on him. So,
mm-hmm.
So right. I got this. Haney's going to win, but that's not the way I want it to go.
What do you think, Z?
Yeah, well, I kind of agree with Tony to an extent. Haney is not the power puncher in this fight. He's rarely the power puncher in any fight, but he's not the power puncher in this fight. What he is, he's the more versatile guy. He could do more in the ring. And with Progress is dangerous. He's a dangerous fight for Haney. But I don't think he's necessarily the most difficult. With that said, it's Haney has to worry about getting caught in the exchange. If Haney stays disciplined, he could, I don't want to say easy night, but he can relatively, you know, kind of steer clear of damage while, you know, backing up points. But Gray's problem is his feet, and getting, and his problem tonight should be getting to Haney. I just think that his feet, for Gray, is good in the exchanges. He's good when he can get to you or when you want to get to him. He's quick. He's pretty quick-handed. He hits hard. But he has, to me, especially in this fight, he's going to have trouble just navigating to get to those spaces to get to Haney. One thing is, and Tony did mention about Haney getting his cock clean, Haney's not the best punch taker. He's not, and to be not the best punch taker, he's not the best punch avoider either. He was fortunate enough not to really get cracked by some guys the right way, or he took it well enough to limit it. But like Lomachenko had him on skates for a little bit. Yeah, he had him glary eyed for a little bit. Lomachenko, he'll do it with accumulation. He'll do it with cleanliness. But Haney, you know, Haney's not the guy who's going to stand up to damage. He's the guy who's going to navigate around it. So as far as this, I see moments, maybe a moment or two, where Progress will get to Haney. But I could see Haney, you know, Progress not being able to capitalize and Haney weathering in the storm and getting back on track.
Okay. Ty? Ty.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you doing this evening, gentlemen?
Hey,
we're doing great.
Good. Good to hear.
What's your thoughts on the Haney fight tonight?
No, I kind of concur with Zito. I got to lean towards Haney, just, you know, based on everything Zito was saying. The other thing, too, is Haney has a 4-inch reach advantage. So, you know, he's a longer and quicker guy. And you know, Zito was spot on when he was talking about Regis Prograis having, you know, pretty quick hands and good reaction time. But his feet are not as quick as Devin Haney's. And so it's going to be a difficult task for him to cut off the ring, something he showed in his last fight that he doesn't really do tremendously well. It's not a strength of his. So stylistically, this could be a tough fight. The problem with Devin Haney, like Zito said, is he's been shaken by lesser punches. Jorge Linares had Devin Haney on Clear Street from the 10th to the 12th round, had Devin Haney in survival mode. Regis Prograis is a bigger, stronger, more impactful puncher. So there is a chance that he clips Devin Haney. What Devin's been able to do is he's kind of like a young veteran. So he's been able to survive when he gets clipped, kind of like Larry Holmes used to. Larry Holmes would look crazy in a ring sometimes, right? But he'd hold and survive and then get back to his game plan. And I could see a lot of that in Devin Haney, and I believe he's going to have to do that to survive. Now, with that being said, this is at 140. He was a guy who was very much struggling to make 135. And you know, when you're cutting down in weight, a lot of times it decreases your punch resistance. So he could be a bigger, stronger physical specimen tonight at 140. But, you know, outside of, you know, the things I mentioned, I completely lean towards what Zito said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I got to go with all of you. I think Haney will take this fight tonight. Not because he's the shrewdest fighter, but he's not going to stand there and take a lot of crap. He's going to be in and out. And unlike my very rich friend who has some money on it, I won't say who to it, but I'm not a betting man. Hey, what about the other fight tonight? Is Garcia and Duarte? You have anything on that, Ty?
Oh, yeah, that fight was last weekend. It was Ryan Garcia against Oscar Duarte.
And it went like I expected. You know, Duarte applied a lot of pressure, but he doesn't always jab his way in.
He's a tough, durable guy. I figured Ryan would eventually get him out of there, specifically with that left hook. And that's what happened eventually. It's a good fight. Pretty entertaining.
Good. What do you think, Zeke? You're a technical
expert. Yeah, I agree. What I saw to me that Ryan Garcia, he's advancing slow. I mean, his moneymaker's that left hook. He still needs to, you know, he still needs to learn. To me, he still needs to learn. I mean, he's way talented, but to me, he just needs to pick up a little faster because where his name has him, he's going to be seeing guys. And Ryan Garcia is a guy who's going to move up in weight. Kind of, that is going to happen. And with that, you have some very, very, very talented guys, you know, that he's going to move up and have to deal with. So we're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? Go ahead, Tony. What's your thoughts?
I agree with Z. I thought he was going to win it no matter what for the most part. I mean, it was a good fight. But he had to redeem himself from the other one, and he did. He did well. If he lands that left hook on you, you're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be tough to come back from that one, although your rich friend bet on that fight, but I don't know who that would have been. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, another from last week would have been Katie Taylor and Carmonis. And then you keep an eye on Katie. I know that Caden keeps an eye on Katie Taylor. How about you, Zeke?
Sometimes. I mean, I know she's pretty good, but I just kind of, I can't follow her too much. I just I don't see it on, you know, they don't put, you know, female boxing out like that, which is a shame. But so it's hard to follow sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What, I guess the next one up would be Tank Davis is taking a lot of heat and making a lot of press, but he supposedly has a fight coming up with Izzy. I can't read that. He's got one coming up in February. Do you have anything about that, Ty?
No, I haven't read anything. The name, it sounded like you were trying to mention, was Isaac Cruz. That would be a rematch of a very close fight, one of his closer fights. But, no, I haven't read anything as of yet on that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that one happens, though. I'm waiting for that one.
Yeah, up to date, Isaac Cruz has been Tank's most competitive fight, I should say. But ever since they fought, I think Tank has grown leaps and bounds. And we're going to see, can he adapt, he adapted that style a little better. And it's to be said that when they fought the first time, it said that Tank's shoulder, I think, was messed up for most of the fight. So.
Okay. Ty, what's going on? I know you're the business part that we always go to. What's going on with UFC and all this between Dubai and Las Vegas and people threatening to leave one to the other? I mean, I understand. I heard the other day that Bellator is closing down. Is that right?
Bellator was actually sold to PFL. But that's kind of all I could tell you about that. I really haven't been paying too much attention lately, but Bellator was sold to PFL. So we'll see what happens there.
Okay. But a couple of those. Bob, everybody knows, Bob G is a former participant in UFC, and he's off this weekend. He's having a reunion with his wife. He's been at sea for 7 months. So
that's awesome.
And she's a Marine Lieutenant Colonel. She's a physician serving on the Navy boats right now. What she was doing, she got promoted to do the inspection of all the outlying hospitals that the government has around the world. And so she was gone for 6 months last year, the front part of Europe, and 6 months this year to the islands, and making sure everything's okay in case there would be a problem with the Chinese. Okay. Ty, Alexander Volkanovski.
Yep.
He has a rematch coming with Islam Markovic.
They fought about a month ago, and Makhachev won the rematch. Volkanovski will actually be fighting, I believe, in February against Ilya Teporia, who, outside of Max Holloway, is the number one contender at that weight. But it was the first time in Volkanovski's career he was stopped by strikes. First time he was finished, actually. So the rematch happened about a month ago. Like I said, it was the first time he was finished. So he's coming back off of a knockout. It'll be interesting to see if he can go back to his weight and reclaim his dominant weight.
Yeah. Do they have a concussion protocol the way that the NFL does?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you at all.
Yeah, my question was, do they have a concussion protocol similar to the one that the National Football League has?
I don't know if they have a concussion protocol that way, but if you're knocked out, you're usually suspended for 90 days. So, you know, by the time he fights, 90 days will have passed. But it's still, you know, in this day and age, he still would be fighting relatively soon off of 90 days. But nonetheless, 90 days would have passed. But I don't know if they do the whole concussion protocol thing like we see in the NFL.
All right.
Here's one I want to ask. Zito, Chris Bellion-Smith has a fight coming up in 3 weeks with Matusos, Manerbeck, and the cruiserweight belt. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with those two fighters, but the cruiserweight division is right now is lacking a little bit of name recognition. But you know that tends to, you know, that's just at times generational. So,
okay. And we want to make the PSC that the WBA Hall of Fame, as we all know, for 24. As we all know from our good friend and frequent correspondent, Bernard Fernandez was at the top of that class. Jack Carnan, Fred Stanley, Jesse, Jesse's coach, and they have an Ave Maria Torres. Kelly Adams, Walter Matthews, Nick Chekas, and that was the class that went in with Bernard. If anybody wants to read Bernard's book, I have all four copies, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so it's fantastic. It really is fantastic reading. And he breaks it down to even a fourth grader could understand it. But more importantly, he puts so much emphasis in it. When my wife picks the book up, and when she picks it, you know, she reads everything. But when she picked the book up, she was commenting about different things that he would talk about. And as he mentioned about Hopkins and a little kid with was there for the Bright Star group that they brought him into a room, and there was only one writer allowed in that room, and that was with Bernard, our Bernard Fernandez. And the poor kid, after 2 weeks after the they signed his shirt and gave him gloves. 2 weeks later, the poor kid passed away. But at least he got his wish with the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the child care group that works with them. Tony, what do you think about Oscar Mungoya versus Ryder? Coming up in February, January
27th. Let's see, what was that? You mean the Jaime Munguia fight, John Ryder fight?
Yeah.
You know, I really liked Munguia when he first came out. One of those first couple fights he had, I thought for sure that guy was going to just clean everybody's clock for a while, and he really disappointed me after about maybe a third or fourth fight. It was just like, it's a complete change, like a personality change or something. John Ryder, I don't think will be a big deal for him. I mean, it's not one of those fights where I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to Usyk and Tyson Fury. And of course, Wilder coming up here at Christmas. But, I mean, Munguia will probably win that one, but that's not going to be one I'm going to be watching most likely.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. I agree with Tony. Jaime McGill is the perfect example of you can't live off of potential forever. He's had, upside, and his best asset to me was his youthful bigness. And that's not going to last. You need to kind of skill it up. You have to kind of get your skill up. And to me, Jaime has developed certain things, but that kind of, in the mode of Ryan Garcia. And I hope, obviously Ryan's younger, and, they could have different trajectories, but, it gets to a point to where you need to start kind of climbing over the hill with certain things. His last performance against Derevchenko, to me, and Derevchenko was, 38? Jaime won, but, he got schooled that fight. And that's not supposed to happen. Not Jaime getting to his prime. You're not supposed to get totally schooled, by Derevchenko. So, Ryder, to me, he's big. He's big, but that could give Jaime trouble. I don't know what I'm gonna get from him. That's the only thing. I just don't know what I'm gonna get from him. So, I pick him to win, but I don't pick him to. I can't say he'll look good. I can't say the win will be won't be questionable. That's where I'm at with Jaime. I'm sorry to say, but that's where we're at.
Okay,
that's spot on.
Yeah. What do you think, Ty?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Tony and Gito said. Jaime's a guy who, burst onto the scene with the destruction of Sotomayor all those years back and won a title. And since then, he's just been kind of spinning his wheels no matter what weight he goes to. He works himself into a mandatory position and turns down a title shot. So the whole key with the John Ryder fight is that's who Canelo fought very recently. So it's a little comparison shopping. That's what the reason why Golden Boy made this fight. Let's see if we could beat Ryder, better than Canelo did it. But, Ryder's limited opposition. Ryder's big, Vito said. He's a solid 168-pounder. But by no means is he as, good a fighter as Sergey Derevchenko. So it's not anything that Jaime hasn't seen before. And he's going into a fight where he's going to be a prohibitive favorite. So, I'm kind of with Zito and Tony on that whole Jaime Munguia train. Until he's, fighting someone, that's going to advance his career or where it looks like he's taking his career a little bit more seriously, then I don't know if I'll watch. I'll watch because I'm a freaking glutton for fights, but that's about it, though.
Exactly.
There's a couple other names that I forgot that I left off from the Hall of Fame. One of them is a guy who my parents knew, I knew growing up. In fact, every time we moved, I think we moved to his company, and that's Ferpo Imbergia. Luis Angelo, he fought under Ferpo, he's had a in fact, I think if I remember correctly, Dr. Chris's father was not only owned his contract. They worked out of Marcus Hook there when Marcus Hook was a big fighting town. And then Ricky Hatton. I forgot about Ricky Hatton. Also was in that group.
There's only one Ricky Hatton. I used to love when the Brits would cheer that. I used to love that.
That's great. Let's see. Anybody have something they want to bring up?
We got the Wilder fight here 2 days before Christmas. Yeah, that's
actually a whole big heavyweight extravaganza card, right? And Dimitri was involved on that card as well.
Yeah, Dimitri's on there. Anthony Joshua's. I mean, it's going to be a good night of fighting. But to take the Deontay fight first versus Joseph Parker, I mean, anything could happen. I mean, you've seen Joseph Parker do it before.
I'm thinking that it'll be Dubois, Miller, then Deontay Parker, and then Joshua Valen as far as the lineup. But, I mean, that card is just super loaded.
Yeah.
And that's the 23rd, man. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's a great Christmas present.
Yeah, there's another one coming in, big one coming in for UFC before the first of the year. It's going to go to Vegas, but I don't remember who the people are.
Is that the Leon Edwards Kobe Covington card? Because I know that's coming up. I'm just not sure when.
Yeah.
I don't know who else is on that card. I just haven't had as much time to read the way I normally do. But I'm looking forward to that Covington Edwards fight. So definitely.
Now, what do you think, Zeke?
I think that'll be a very entertaining fight. Leon is a little more explosive than Kobe to me, but Kobe's consistent. Kobe's consistent, and let me tell you something. I mean, that usually creates a good fight. Somebody who's real consistent against explosion. I mean, yeah, you kind of can't ask for anything better.
Uh huh. Tony,
agree with Z on that one. It's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, I guess everybody before we got one on the air, watched the Army Navy book game. Very, very good game. Right down to the last minute. Actually, last seconds, and the Navy lost by a foot. It's a shame that they couldn't get the ball over. Army had pretty good tactics all through the game, and it just came down to one stupid play.
All right. That's the same problem Tyson Fury is going to have with music.
Right.
He's going to come down to it, and I think he's going to get wiped out.
That's going to be an interesting fight, just because I think something's happening that nobody's really talking about, and I think Tyson is hitting Tyson Fury a little bit. I think it's catching up slightly.
Zito, real quick, let me interject. It's funny you say that. One person said that too. John Fury, Tyson Fury's dad, said, "My son is starting to slow down. My son's declining." He said that too.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like in the Nagano fight. It just you see recent forms that he's not the bouncy toe guy anymore. He's not that outside, stay outside jab, and he's more using his weight. I saw against Chisora where he just kind of, obviously the ref was paid to let Fury do that, but you just saw it. What he could have done to Chisora is different than what he did. He could have made that fight, less grueling on himself, to be honest. Chisora shouldn't have been able to even get a whiff of Tyson Fury. But, I mean, Tyson Fury is a smart fighter also. So what he did, he used his weight. Nobody's going to keep him from getting into you. That's hard to do. Deontay Wilder is the best one that could do it because of the threat of his power and his athleticism. But if Tyson Fury wants to get to you, 6'9 and two almost 280, it's going to get to you. The only thing is, those reactions are beginning to get slow. So he'll get touched a little more against somebody like a Usyk commit. Somebody like a Usyk, he might not be able to lay his paws on. Just because those that millisecond of time has left him. And that happens to everyone. So, as I say, it's going to be interesting that he's taking on someone like Usyk.
Yeah. I think McDonough gave Tyson brain damage with that shot he took, and I know no one expected that to happen. And if he could take the shots. That's the thing. I mean, he's obviously taken that when he took Deontay's shot and got up off the mat. But if Usyk comes in his best form, he's going to win that fight. Because Tyson, when he, like Zito and Tyson, he's slowing down. He can take the punch, but I don't know if he's going to be able to continuously take Usyk's punches. If Usyk lands a couple of them on him, I think that's going to be it for Tyson Fury.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be trouble.
Usyk is my favorite fighter, right? But that I don't see. I don't see him being able to stop Tyson Fury. Fury's too big. Usyk wasn't a knockout artist at cruiserweight. What he would do is he would get knockouts by attrition. And I think Fury, even though I could see Fury tired, because his fitness even hasn't looked as great lately, even though I could see Fury tired because he's so big, and Usyk is going to have to kind of walk a high wire because he's going to have to step in and get his shots off, but he's going to have to cut his angle before Fury could lean on him, grab him, put the weight on him. I don't see him ever being able to stop Fury. But if Fury had slowed a hair, Fury is going to have to do what he's been doing, is taking it inside. And that could be difficult with Usyk because of his footwork. So very interesting fight. Very interesting fight.
Exactly, because if he starts to employ the style that he did against Kasura, I don't see that working at all. I don't see that. You can't, like, it's hard to get skin to skin with Usyk. It's just hard to do that. It's hard to even start a lot of offense. Usyk is one of the best guys at throwing fakes. And as a heavyweights don't throw fakes as much like that. Heavyweights usually get down to business. So with Usyk, he has intricacies to where, like, Tyson Fury was a heavyweight that threw quite a bit of fakes. But what Usyk does is Usyk's heart, his conditioning, first of all, allows him to move around like that. And for Tyson Fury to really, like, he's going to have to take punches to even cut the ring off. He's going to have to take some abuse trying to cut the ring off. And
he can't lean on a man that you can't catch.
Exactly. And after a few rounds of you're trying to do a certain thing and it's not working and you're getting stung up from it, you're not as fast to step in, you're not as bold. And that means that a guy like Usyk now has control of the fight. So it's like, as the brain game to me, like, both guys are highly educated boxers. But Usyk has to work as if he's not a heavyweight. And he's had to do that ever since he's been a heavyweight. That's kind of his added dimension to me. He showed that against everyone he's fought, that he's not the typical heavyweight. He doesn't move like a heavyweight. He doesn't, he throws many more punches. He decreases volume as a heavyweight. But, I mean, his activity is seeming to increase to me. Like, he throws so many more fakes. He moves around so much more than he did at cruiserweight to me, like, foot-wise. So,
yeah, cruiserweight, you know what? He moved, but he held his ground a lot more. And a lot of times what he would do is he would stake out the center of the ring. And at cruiserweight, he would move and start to push you back over time. At heavyweight, he's having to do it from the back foot, but he's still keeping up, not as much volume as he could at cruiserweight because he has to be more defensively conscious. But he's still keeping a pace that most heavyweights have a very hard time dealing with.
Hey, let me get back to UFC 296. Rachmaninoff says he's ready for a title shot. But also,
But Bilal Mohammed thinks he also deserves it. Ty, what's your thoughts on that one? I know these,
well, Bilal Muhammad is absolutely deserving because he's on such a tremendous win streak. Shavkat
right.
Rachmaninoff needs to be the Bilal Muhammad to claim he's deserving. He's still, you know, a good contender's fight away to being deserving. But Bilal Muhammad is truly deserving. And he should have been the one fighting Leon Edwards, not Kobe Covington, who had been sitting on the sidelines.
Right. See?
Yeah, I totally agree with Ty. I totally agree with Ty.
Okay. Yeah, the you know, I wish Bob or Caden were here because I want to ask them to expand on the UFC.
What do you want to ask them?
But the main reason would be, let me get this guy's name.
Yeah, like I'm not up to date the way I normally am on with the cards, but if
yeah.
you say the names, I could cut a little off for you.
Well, Marcos and Ollie have a rematch coming up.
Who's that?
Marcos and Barry Oling have a rematch coming up in February.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with those names.
Yeah. How about we did Corrales and we did Alexander.
Got Arthur Beterbe coming up here.
What's that?
Yeah.
Get the Beterbe versus Callum Smith fight here January 13th.
Yes.
Better be up than Callum Smith?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward
to that one.
I'm looking for.
I don't favor Callum Smith. But I'm looking forward to that one because he's a very big guy. And, I mean, again, he went to bed against Canelo, but I think it can be argued he was getting to the point where he was getting diminishing returns at 168. And at 175, he has looked absolutely stronger and more physically dynamic. I don't expect him to beat Beterbiev by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a fight I'm absolutely looking forward to.
I agree with that.
Yeah, Beterbiev is entertaining no matter who he fights. One thing is, though, Beterbiev, everybody knows him. He's known him to smash you out of there. That's what Beterbiev is known for. Beterbiev is one of the more educated boxers. The way he gets his power in, like he's decorated Olympian, first of all, but the way he gets his power in, is he's not a slugger. He's a hard hitter, but he's not a slugger. He'll bring it. He'll bring the fight, but he's not balls to the wall, as people would say. So, I mean, and I think with Callum Smith, that's the thing that's going to give him trouble. I just think Callum Smith, I mean, he's big and he's very, very good. It's going to give Beterbiev a little bit of trouble, but Beterbiev figures things out, and he loses his power on it. And that's a little hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we are pretty close to our time. And I apologize. I had a lot of things I wanted to get through, but I got a little thrown off with the introduction and the dedication to Sherry. They're very close friends of ours, and this poor lady suffered from cancer for the last year. And,
oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Just passed on Thursday. So, right, Tony, you want to lead us out?
Yeah, I would like to say prayers to the family. I know some of the Levantes, and cancer sucks. It just flat out sucks. Sorry for their loss. Miss Bob and skating tonight, but love having Ty and Z on and you, sir. The three of you guys make it happen, and I love it. And I hope all you guys have a great holiday season, and to all of my lovely ex-wives out there, I really hope that they have a good Christmas and Santa visit. And I mean that sincerely.
Oh, yeah, another wonderful show. I want to thank Tony, Ty, you Butchers. It makes my Saturdays when I can be there. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob, Coach Mel, and Dr. Quick. If anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call.
Hi.
Such a pleasure being on with you gentlemen. The Saturdays I can make it. Tony, Butch, Zito, pleasure talking to you. Definitely miss Caden and Bob. Let me say Merry Christmas now. I unfortunately will not be here next week. I got a shoot next week, so I will not be able to make it. So, you know, to all you guys, have a wonderful holiday, wonderful Christmas. Love you guys. Bob is the co-pilot. Coach Mel's watching over us. Dr. Chris keeps us laughing. Everybody be well. Be safe.
Next week will be our last show of the year. It's very tough to get people together, especially around the holiday time. This is the biggest holiday of all. So
I'm trying to grab my hat this year for my Hall of Fame. But I appreciate, I don't think I say it enough, I appreciate everything you guys do every week. You're always prepared. You're always ready to even do battle when we have to. And Tony makes the best two sandwiches in the world.
Yeah,
of course, he's eating many.
My second one.
If you get one, you'll see it in. Yeah, you see it in the on your the screen. You know it's from Tony. It's
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Or as Ric Flair would say, woo.
These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. I'm grateful, appreciate you. To the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police fire services, the doctors and nurses on first line COVID. I'm just kidding. And the guys in the market to keep the Bob happy with filling the shelves. These programs are also dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcott, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henry, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Charlie Crispin, I'm sorry, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant George Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Chris LeVake, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Anafo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Lieutenant Joe Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Deputy Josh Meyer, Nassau County Sheriff's Office, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, excuse me, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artis Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Fikas, Wilmington Fire Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Deputy Mike Hauser from Pinellas County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Blaine Lane and Deputy Chris Meyer, Polk County Sheriff's Department, Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Police Department and Temple University Police Department, and Sergeant Ramon Ortegas, Philadelphia Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, but sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the palm of his hand. Good night. God bless. And if we don't see people, have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Ty, give that baby a hug for me. And Zito, I know all your kids are pretty big, but you can shake their hand for me.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ma hezahir ma, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again ma yelama.
County Dispatch 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. And God rest his soul and all the souls that faithfully departed. Good night, Bob. We love you. Miss you.